Do you want families that connect with and invest in the vision and mission of your community? Does the thought of asking hard questions to a new family make you cringe? What if I told you that it is possible to connect with families in your co-op through the application process that will run the race together for God's glory? It is possible when you find the families that fit in your group. In our last episode, we discussed common mistakes that you might be making in the admissions process. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, go and do that first so that you'll understand why an interview serves both your co-op and the applying families, and how to overcome the fears that might be hindering the process. In today's episode, we want to help you with the actionable steps to take in building the interview process so that you can successfully find the families that fit. Stay tuned to find out how.
Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello. We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this.
Hey friends, did you know we are doing a live Q&A on Facebook on the last Friday of the month? So we can answer your questions live and in person. We've heard from some of you, and we have some great questions to answer in their first Q&A session this month. So if you would like your question answered, post it in the Facebook group and then come and join us. We will be on at 2 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. So yeah, join us then. It'll be very fun, and we will be answering your questions.
Can't wait. Last episode, we talked about why it's important to do the interview process and overcoming mindset and words and charged feelings about it. There's a lot of feelings around it. And today we just really wanted to get to the nitty-gritty of how to have a successful interview so that you can achieve together, recognizing whether or not it's a good fit for both families involved. I just want to give you like a quick example of how this worked out so well in an interview that I did with a family. And she initially was coming to find out more about us because her son's best friend was coming to our co-op. And so she thought that it might be a good fit for her son. We found out together that it wasn't a great fit. And I think ended up being a really good situation for their family because when I was asking some of the questions, she was talking a lot about a high standard of excellence in regards to academics. And I asked her, what is making you leave where you're at now? And she was talking about, well, the kids are goofing off in class, people are blurting out, and then expressed how she really wanted to be in this community with people who had the same mindset as her of having this high level of academic excellence. And I was able to show her that we, though we care about academics, we don't have that as one of our main pillars as far as excellence in academics. We have a variety of things, and mm-hmm. we place equal importance on all of those things. And she realized too, after we discussed it, after going back and forth, that yeah, it might not be what she's looking for because we have people at our co-op who can't even meet the standard that we're offering, but they're part of our community and we love them and we want them to be part of our communities. We have people who have a high academic standard, and we have people that have a lower bar that they're able to meet. And if she wanted to have a community around her with people that were on the same pace, then that wasn't going to be us. And I didn't think that she would be happy with us. And she agreed. And there was no hurt feelings. There was no feelings of rejection or anything like that. And that's what we hope that today's episode will help you to get to. Let me just share with you the basic admissions process, because once you figure out this part, then you can get on to how do you do an interview. The basic admissions process is that you have an informational meeting. So this kind of just sets up the family and gives them all of the information that they need to know so that they can make an educated decision about whether or not you, their family, and you might be a good fit. It's basically your educational philosophy, the schedule, expectations, curriculum, those kinds of things that happen in the informational meeting. Then you do an application, and this is just basic info from the family to help get you ready for the interview. And then you do the interview, the Q&A, based on your mission statement. So everybody's questions might be a little bit different because it's based on what are your fundamental values for your co-op. Those are going to be different than what my fundamental values are for my co-op. And the things that are really important for us might be different than what. So make sure that you first have a solid mission statement. So if you don't have a mission statement, start there. Then once you've had your informational meeting, your application's done, you do the interview, and you get all those questions answered and everybody's on board, then you do registration. And the family has finally been accepted and joins your co-op, knowing that it's a good fit for them and a good fit for you.
I think that it is good to mention here that when you are presenting information in the informational meeting, and then when you're getting information from them in the application process, you will be sharing information more than once, maybe many times, because it's hard to get all the information in one fell swoop, right? And so your families should be coming to the interview process with a lot of information already. However, don't expect that they're going to know everything, because they will have missed things. So another reason why the interview is so important.
Well, the information meeting is kind of like a fire hose experience, right?
Yeah.
They're taking it all in, and there's a lot to take in. And so you might have to reiterate some of those main points again at the beginning of your interview to make sure that there is clarity, or that they have an understanding of what you meant when you said this, and making sure there's understanding. That don't skip that step, because it's important.
Yeah.
Clear
Somebody
is kind.
Should do a study on how many times information needs to be repeated to a co-op member before they remember it, because I bet it's a many. I bet it's many
oh
times.
Oh my goodness.
It is many.
I would be on the far other end of the spectrum. It takes me many times. So I'm right along there too.
Yeah.
I appreciate multiple opportunities to get the information in.
And not just in one format, right? It needs to be written. It needs to be said. I mean, lots of different ways. Don't assume that just because you put it out once or you say it once that it's landed in there.
Exactly.
So we're going to go into the nitty-gritty of the interview. What does this look like? Well, the interview is simply a conversation that will reveal expectations, goals, desires, and the level of commitment to your pillars that are represented in your mission statement. And it's okay if it's not a good fit. We are giving these families permission to say no right off the bat. We're not ashamed of who we are. We represent who we are truthfully. We're not sugarcoating things or downplaying things to appease them. That does not serve anyone well. We want to be very clear on who we are and why we do what we do, and answer their questions and make sure that there is clarity on all of that. So, I mean, an interview sounds kind of daunting. It's simply a conversation that goes both ways. You do some talking, and then you do a lot of listening as you ask these questions, because in listening, you will gather a lot of information and be able to pick up on those red and yellow flags if they happen to come up.
Right. The process of doing this interview, you have to come up with your questions, obviously, before you go into the interview. But your questions are going to be different from somebody else's questions. Some of them will be the same, but they will be based on what your mission is and what your pillars are. When you get your list of questions, you should start with open-ended questions first and listen carefully to what your people are saying. Are there any red or yellow flags coming out of what they're saying they want or they expect or all those things? So you're going to ask them open-ended questions to get that information. Don't just feed them information and say, do you agree? Because it's really easy to say, yes, we agree with all that. But let's hear from that person, from their own experience. Hannah, I don't know, maybe you and Pam, because you guys do more of this interviewing, maybe give some examples of open-ended questions that you would ask in an interview.
Sure. Questions like, what is your past schooling experience? What brings you to homeschooling? What is your expectation of our co-op or of being in a co-op? What are you looking for? What are your goals? What's important to your family? What do you want to come away with from your homeschooling journey? You know, it helps you see what's really important to them. What is your understanding of fill in the blank? It could be whatever model of education you follow, classical or Charlotte Mason or eclectic. How do they understand how this all comes together? Do they understand that? Do they need more information about what does this actually mean? You know, we might think that we know, but maybe we don't actually know what that looks like. And even within different co-ops, classical, for example, can be presented very differently. And so you might want to go into a little bit more of, here is what this looks like for our group, which may be different than what they might have understood about that. Pam, what kind of questions do you guys ask?
We ask very similar questions to those. Those are really great questions. And I wanted to touch back to, we talked about listen for red or yellow flags. Well, you might be wondering, what is a yellow or red flag? How do I even know if there's a yellow or red flag? And a yellow or a red flag is when that little feeling comes up like, how is this going to work with us? So if somebody, if you ask, what is your expectation of our co-op? And like, for example, the gal that I spoke with before, and she says, I really want a high level of academic excellence. Then my little red flag goes up and goes, we offer academics. Do we offer a high level of academics? Then I might ask her a follow-up question. So whenever you get that little pause, then you ask another question and get really curious about that. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, that means that I want my kid doing AP lessons, or I want, you know, college level curriculum to be chosen. Then I can then help guide her and go, okay, this is what we're about. This is what we offer. And I don't know that that's going to be in alignment. Do you think you're going to be happy here? Like, and if it's a fundamental thing, because let's face it, somebody might not be like our pillars are that we're Christ-centered, that we serve, we do academic, and friendships are our four pillars. And so maybe for me, one of those pillars is going to be more important than another one for somebody else. And that's going to happen. But when it comes to the fundamentals of what you're going into, if they are way off on one of those things, it's your obligation to bring that up to them and to make sure that they're really understanding what it is that you can offer there. Because let's play this out and say that she was accepted and we're like, okay, I'm going to just pretend that she didn't say that. And we'll just say, let's just try it, you know? Well, guess what? Now she's frustrated with other families or maybe other mentors who are teaching because she doesn't feel like they're doing a high enough standard. And then it's not going to be good for her. It's not going to be good for the people who are providing that investment by teaching.
And she might have resentment that her time has been wasted because, you know, if they have a high level and then they didn't have that time to work on that.
Right.
So you don't want to set anyone up to be resentful.
Yeah. She might be thinking, why didn't Pam tell me from the beginning that we were just going to be using the regular high school curriculum. And we weren't, I told her I wanted college level classes, and she assured me. That's why I'm saying it's kind to be clear. And like what you said earlier, Hannah, about being unapologetic about who you are.
Which goes back to the point of you have to know who you are. And so you have to use your mission statement in order to clarify on those important points. And you have to always be going back to that and thinking, well, is this in alignment? And what do we mean by we're Christian? What does that mean? Is that a specific thing to us? Is it something different to somebody else? Or any one of the pillars, like you said, Hannah, before, we're classical in our co-op. Well, that may mean something different to a family who's interested in coming. They might think Latin is the most important class of the co-op, and that if that's not a high level, that, you know, then it's not classical. That's just an example. But everybody has their different little spin on what they mean on certain things.
So that's why it's important to ask those follow-up questions and start with the open-ended questions. Follow up with more questions. Get clarity. Don't just be satisfied with an answer. Oh, that's what you mean? Okay, and then I'm just going to move on to the next question. No, dig deeper. Make sure that you're both really clear about what your expectations are, what you want, so that you can honor one of them.
You're looking for philosophical and spiritual alignment with these open-ended questions, right? Because that's the basis. And then you can move into more of the nitty-gritty and the logistic, because you may be aligned philosophically, and then logistically, it's not going to work. So that's kind of the next tier of questions to ask.
Yeah, you want to be clear on the expectations that are around the financials. So what are your fees? What is tuition? If you require people to invest their time, what does that look like? What are the opportunities available for them to meet that need? The time of your co-op, the day, and boy, it would be really unfortunate to come to this point and you have a Monday co-op and they say, oh, well, we already have something on Mondays. Well, that's a big miss. How is this going to work?
Yeah. Hopefully they heard that before, but you
I
know.
Hope so. Sometimes things get missed because yes. We want something so badly, right? The commitment. What is the commitment? What are you expecting of these families? And what are you committed to providing for these families? Mm-hmm. What are the logistics? An important one. What are the parent, student, and teacher roles and responsibilities? Make sure there's clarity there. At the beginning of every relationship, there's, you know, this disillusionment.
Right.
We tend to do this, right? Of thinking everything is wonderful. This is going to meet all of our needs. You have to bring a dose of reality to this, that there is an investment here. And here's what we do when we have conflict. These are conversations. Part of the conversation should be addressing some of these harder things so that there are no surprises down the road, so that no one comes and says, I had no idea about that. Mm-hmm. There will be plenty of other little things, right, that they might not pick up on or may have forgotten, but you really need to know what are the non-negotiables, what are the important things to make sure that there is alignment and agreement. So go through your handbook. I mean, hopefully they've been able to see your handbook at this point, but go through the ones that are really important and make sure that there is clarity, or ask them, do you have any questions about this? What can I clarify for you? Just so that there's not all this wondering.
Yes.
One thing I would add too is that if you are currently leading a homeschool co-op and you have had issues in the past with things coming up, those are great questions to ask. So, for example, let's say that somebody has an expectation. You talked about student and teacher roles. Let's say that they had an expectation that the teacher was going to be responsible for their child's homeschool. I know it sounds crazy because we are the homeschooling parents, but oftentimes that it can be an expectation that there's not clarity around. So let's say that that happens. Parent could then have these ill feelings towards the teacher, feeling like the teacher isn't upholding their responsibility. And then the teacher can have ill feelings towards the parent, thinking this parent is like has these expectations of me that are unrealistic. So clear is kind, and having that clarity is necessary and will save you a bunch of heartache down the road.
So Pam, a question for you, logistically speaking, is how much time are you or someone on your leadership team spending on a typical interview?
We tend to do our informational meeting and Q&A kind of in the same space of time. If at the end of the informational meeting, it seems like, okay, they're kind of on board with everything that we've said, then we'll go ahead and sit down and do a Q&A meeting, and it takes about 15 to 20 minutes. It doesn't take that long because they've had all of the information and we're just reiterating the things that are important to us and finding out if those things are important to them, and just really trying to figure out where are their gaps in our visions for our families and for the co-op. Is the co-op going to align with their vision for what they want for their family? And that's our goal.
Wow. I might need to take some notes from you because mine tend to be about an hour.
Well, and it just depends on the person. Because if the person has a lot of words, then it can take longer. And it's really difficult to wrap up somebody when they're on a roll. You know, you want to love them and listen to them. So it can vary. But if you've had your informational meeting, that's the big, you know, chunk of time right there. They've had a chance to ask questions throughout the informational meeting. And now it's time for us to dig a little bit deeper and see, is there anything that we're missing that could potentially not be a good fit for them, or an oversight that they didn't know was an expectation of ours, or something like that.
My point in asking that is just to show it's okay to have variables. So plan 20 minutes to an hour. That would be a reasonable amount of time to invest into an interview or a Q&A time. And I will tell you, it is time well spent. It is an investment into the family and into your community that is very, very important.
Just goes to show that each community may do this process slightly differently.
Yeah.
Like, we do an informational meeting with a bunch of families at one time, and then we do a more thorough interview one-on-one. Where it sounds like other communities like yours, Pam, might do the information meeting one-on-one, which then leads into the Q&A or the interview. And so that one-on-one time is still a significant amount of time. It's at least an hour, probably, I would say, that you need to have with a family.
And we kind of do it a few different ways. We have done it where we've done several families at a time, or a couple of families at a time, and then we split up and we do the Q&A. We might be in the same house, but we just split up and we do a Q&A. That's usually how we do it. Then over time, it seems like it's maybe one or two people that at different times. So then we ended up going to the informational meeting, which is kind of like the Q&A because they can ask their questions at that time. And I will say, we have talked about that it's great to do it in person if at all possible, just to have that personal interaction mean something. But even if you have to do it on Zoom, it's better to do it on Zoom or on a phone call than not at all. So
agreed.
Make sure that it just happens in whatever way fits for your community.
I agree, and 100%.
Yeah. And if it's not a good fit, sometimes it's hard to have the verbiage or find the words to say, but I promise you, the more you are honest and you can be diplomatic about it. But some of the things that I'll say just to kind of give you some words to use is what I've said earlier in the episode is, I'm just wondering if you're going to be happy here. Like, bringing up the two things that you find out that are not in alignment with the vision, like with the high level of academics and here, this is what we're about. I'm not sure. I'm just wondering if you're going to be happy here, and then sit and wait, hear what they have to say. Yeah, well, and maybe they'll be like, oh no, I am. And then you ask more questions. You might have to paint a picture of what your co-op is like and really help them to understand what it's like. And then till they understand, yeah, it's really not. And they might just really, really want to do it, right? If my best friend is over here and I want to be with them, I might just really want to do it. And it sometimes it just takes time where they have to go and think about it and pray about it. And sometimes if we're getting those red flags, might say, hey, why don't you go think about this, pray about this, and then let's come and let's have another conversation about it. I love asking, like, what concerns, now that you know a little bit more information about XYZ, what are your concerns? Well, I love everything you have to say, but I'm concerned because I work two jobs and I, need to do this and that. And I'm just concerned about the time. And then I might go, okay, well, this does take such and such time. We talked about this in the informational meeting that teachers are required to teach. So that means about an hour or two for planning or whatever it is for your situation. And then ask, what are you willing to give up? Because they're going to have to give up something. So that might feel kind of bold, and you might feel like I shouldn't be asking that. You're being honest and you're helping them to see maybe the giving up is coming to your co-op because they actually really don't have the time or the energy or the brain space to be able to do that. And I think that they'll appreciate it if you ask it in a nice way, right? You don't have to be like, well, what do you think you're giving up if you don't come here, right? You don't have to be all like attitude and snap, snap in a circle, but you can be like, I don't want you to be overwhelmed. Like, I'm concerned that you're going to tank if you come here because this is what you have to do in order to be a part of this co-op. This is what we all do. This is how we all contribute. And if we add this, how is that going to be for you mentally and, spiritually? Are you going to be able to do this? And then reiterate, and it's okay if it's a no. Maybe it's a, it's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. And I'm here to support you and make sure that what we're asking of you is realistic. Some people will be like, oh, I don't need community. I have my own community. I'm just looking for community for my kids. Well, even though you have community, you not wanting to participate in community at the co-op is going to affect your kids' ability to have community. Because if you're detached and doing your own thing, it's going to be really difficult for your kids to be connected. And I would just say stuff like that. So I don't know if that's helpful or gives you some kind of verbiage to use or like permission to talk about those things. I hope that it helps you to have confidence in saying those things and knowing that you don't have to say it in a sarcastic or judgmental way at all. And hopefully, if you've listened to the last episode, you'll know that you're doing this out of love. So that should give you permission to ask these hard questions and be okay and have the confidence to clarify all of this stuff. What do you guys think?
I totally agree. I think that we fear that we're going to be come off judgmental when we ask questions that will reveal differences, right? But we want to know those differences, and we want the families who are applying to see those differences for themselves. So I just echo everything you said, Pam, that it's the loving way to go about it. And it's so much better to do it up front than not do it at all or not pay attention to the red flags and then have to deal with conflict situations down the road.
And it's our obligation as a leader to do it. So we got to take all of those fears from our past traumas and hurts and where maybe we felt judged before that's making us not want to go through this process and put that in its proper place and have courage to do the right thing.
Yeah. So we would love to help you. If you need help with troubleshooting your admissions process or anything else that your leadership is struggling with, you can always post your questions on our Facebook page and on the pinned Q&A post, and then we can address it in the next live Q&A. This will happen again the last Friday of the month at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. We can't wait to meet you and see you there live. We are also always available for private coaching sessions, so you can go to the link in the show notes and sign up for a time with us. We would like to leave you with a Bible verse. Psalm 133:1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And that's our goal, to find the unity that we can have in our communities and experience how good and how pleasant that is. Thanks for showing up. We'll see you next time.
Hey, friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.